I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
Do what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Dad stands in the corner where the barrels are straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie, draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
The Medic Shack. Join Cat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for the Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on the Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those within skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Alrighty, welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 26th of August, and we got a
4 months, as Amy said yesterday. We've got 4 months now till Christmas. Seems hard to believe, and I hope that we are able to make it through this Christmas with all the things that are going on around the country. And we're going to talk about some of those things. Amy will be with us tonight, in about 30 minutes, bottom of the hour. She's going to be here and enlighten us, her wisdom. She's got a really interesting story tonight that I'm sure you guys are going to want to hear. And I want to remind everyone once again, if you're in the mood for buying silver, if you're in the market right now, you need to get a hold of Bobby and justmeasurescs.com and look at the prices he's got right now. $4 by a 100 of these silver American Eagles, $4 over spot, and he pays the shipping. So it's going to be hard-pressed to find a better deal than that anywhere in the country. So these are 2014 Silver Eagles. So, and I want to let everybody know that we are got our stuff squared away enough here that I think we're going to go back on the road with training. We've put that off for quite a while because we were just too busy to be gone for very long. Of course, we went to Bundy Ranch and some of these other things, but that takes precedence over all things. So we can overlook that regardless of how much it puts us in the hole or how far we get behind. Some things just have to be done. But we've got things squared away. We're going to start doing out-of-town classes again. The first one coming up here, well, I'm not sure if it's going to be the first one. We're looking at another one in Stockton, Utah right now. But we are putting together one right now that will be the, let me look here at the date. It is the, wrong month. There we go. It'll be the 18th and 19th of October, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday will be a Glock Armorers class. Sunday will be the 8-hour disaster preparedness seminar. Both classes will be in just right outside of Lincoln, California. So for those that are interested in that part of the country and interested in these classes, will give us a call at 928-208-4867 or email me at training@shotsranch.com and we'll get you fixed up. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll have the same set of classes coming up very soon in Stockton, Utah. Wow, the room just got way brighter right now because Amy just walked in. What an awesome individual. And Stockton, Utah. And we don't have too many details on that yet. We are putting it together as we sprecken here. So if you know of a particular class or you'd like something done in your area and want us to come up there, well, let us know, and remember that if you do all the footwork for me, find the place and do whatever needs to be done to get me up there, then you get your class free. No matter what the class is, if it's a $1,000 class, you still get it free. As long as we have enough people to justify the trip at all, then your class is free. So, and here it is, closing in on the end of August, one of the hottest months of the year.
Not this year.
And I'm going to tell you what, I went to town at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and if any of you are just listening for the first time here, you might not know we live in the high desert in the southwest. We're in Arizona. And late August typically is way warm in this part of the country, but not today, not this whole month. It was a little warm at the beginning of the month. We haven't seen 100 yet this year, have we? No, we haven't seen. I'm not so damn sure we've seen. We may have seen 90. I don't think we've been much over 90.
Probably 96 is the highest.
And but anyway, today at 2 o'clock, 59 degrees when I was driving to town. I was looking a while ago at the thermometer right outside the window when we were fixing to have dinner, and it was, 52 degrees out there right now. I mean, it's enjoyable. It's nice and cool, but doesn't look good. Ranger says 91 was the highest he's seen in this area this year. So, but I'm a little fearful of what this may bring. And several people are saying that the Farmer's Almanac says it's going to be a cold winter. And I told Amy it was going to be a cold winter before we ever looked that up. I mean, it just seemed pretty. Yeah, there goes the global warming idea. But it just seemed pretty common sense here that if it's August and we're getting down into the 50s at night. Now, I know that's not cold. It's just unseasonably cool for this time of year for this area. And it's been that way all summer. We've had very little summer here. So it's going to be interesting to see what's coming up. But I'll tell you one thing. I think what better be happening here is we better make some time to get out and get a little firewood in. And or we're going to be burning furniture here before the end of the winter. So, anyway, Ranger, I tried to call you today and you didn't answer, so I held up my end of the deal. Okay, let me look here. We got breaking news coming in. Nope, never mind. We can do without that. Now then, this, yeah, okay, so that's exactly what we're planning to do. He said we probably ought to double the firewood this year. Yeah, that's precisely what we got in mind, is doubling the firewood. And we heat exclusively with wood. We do have there's three propane heaters in the house. But I don't want to get into that expense this year. It's going to be monumental to try to do everything with propane this year. We might supplement it a little bit in a couple of the back rooms, but we're just going to have to make sure we got plenty of wood. Now, see, we didn't have a winter last winter either. Mm-mm. It never did get. We don't think it ever saw zero here, did we? Uh-uh. I don't think so. Ranger, do you keep track of that and see? Now, ordinarily in the wintertime, we'd get pretty cool and have quite a bit of snow, but we never had any winter last year. So the horses never even did put on a good full winter coat last year at all. So we'll see what happens. It's not looking good. And also what's not looking good, several things. This thing with ISIS is getting way out of hand. And one thing that I think that we have talked about, you know, I know we've talked about it over the last several years. We've talked a lot about the poop hitting the fan, what's going to happen, economic collapse, da 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 da. And, you know, we had talked about terrorist attack. But I don't think that anybody has looked at this in the magnitude of what could possibly be happening here in the not too distant future. This ISIS bunch is well funded, well organized, and very, very determined. Lots of people, lots of equipment, and Doc. That's the only answer, my friend. There is no other answer to this. There is no negotiating. There is no bombing them into the Stone Age and letting them rebuild. They have to be killed. Each and every one of them need to be hunted down like dogs and killed. There's no politically correct, nice way to put that. That's what has to happen. You can call it exterminated. You can call it terminated. You can call it whatever you want to, but that's what has to be done. And they will say, if there's one left, they're still going to cause problems. And they need to be hunted down like dogs. And I fear that, you know, the government's starting to look now at some of the legislators are starting to say, you know what, you guys need to wake up. We need to take military action against, yeah, they're bombing a few things over there, and really all they're doing is accomplishing is pissing them off. They're not really making a big dent in what's going on over there. So I think a major campaign needs to be taking place. Now, the problem with this is not as easy as it sounds. I mean, we can go over there to where they're at, and we can get a whole bunch of them. And maybe, you know, possibly, unlikely, but possibly we could get all of them in that area. But what about the ones that are all over the world? They're in our country already. They're in England in droves, thousands of them over there, waiting on the word, waiting on the sign. And getting rid of them all, I said that's what needs to happen. I have no hope whatsoever in expecting that we can accomplish that. It's like the liberals saying we need to get rid of guns. It's not going to happen. There's just too many of them, too many people like me and Doc that can take a bunch of stuff in the garage and build one. It's just not ever going to happen. It is impossible. It is going to be impossible to rid the world of ISIS and their supporters. But what we might be able to do, if we will, is hold them at bay. We might be able to destroy enough of them and take away enough of their resources and everything with a very violent and determined campaign that we might be able to do something like that. But get rid of them all? You know what? Sorry, guys. Forget it. Not going to happen. You know what? There's a blast from the past. There's a guy I haven't seen for a long time. FL Honda, I think. Yeah, long time no see. Wow. I haven't seen you in here for probably a year and a half, 2 years. Been a while. Anyway, the so I did see that. I haven't read the whole thing yet. I kind of briefly went over it. Yes, I did see it. That's one of my reading assignments for tonight. I'm gonna get everything else taken care of. But what I saw there looked pretty good there in the beginning. So hang on a minute. We got something coming in. Nope, we can wait. So, and one of the things that I have, I wrote a deal on my blog today. I've neglected my blog, and I'm sorry about that. You guys, for those of you that may be interested, it is at theshootingbench.info. I think it's been so long. Let me see here. Let me check. Theshootingbench.info is my blog, and I haven't put much on it for a long time, since April, as a matter of fact. So I put a deal on there today which matches an email that I sent out to quite a number of people yesterday. And just kind of keeping up with or catching everybody up on everything that's been going on with Southwest Shooting Authority and Shots Ranch and everything for a while. And then there was a what did I do today? I'm trying to think of what I put out. So many cotton picking things today. There was another one that, oh, I know what it was. It was on our email blast for Shots Ranch. And you know, this is what we do for a living, and this is something that has plagued me since 1998, when I got into, 95, when I got into professional training. And when there's always that group of people that when you mention things about, you ought to do this and you ought to do this, what if the bad guy comes? What if this, that, and the other? You know, and they accuse you of fear mongering and doing it only for the money and all that. And it bothers me that I feel uncomfortable about saying those things sometimes, but I kind of, on that email blast today, I kind of let it all hang out and just told everybody that, you know, how confident are you in your ability, considering the recent events that's been going on and the violence and savagery of the domestic criminal element right now, not to mention the terrorism that sits right at our door right now. How prepared are you mentally and physically to take care of that? Now, I know a lot of guys that shoot and shoot quite a bit, but I can tell you that the overwhelming majority of the ones that I know are not fighters with guns. They're shooters. Their presentation from odd angles and weird positions and shooting from a sitting position and through car doors and whatnot, woefully inadequate if they were ever attacked on the street. If they were ever attacked on by a paper target on a level range with the sun shining and the birds singing and all that stuff, then they stand a pretty good chance of surviving it. But when you have four or five of these ISIS guys or these these violent protesters and whatnot coming at you, are you prepared to deal with that? And I know a lot of people that will say yes, and they say yes because they don't know what they don't know. They need to be taken out and shown, and without exception, we've taken people out, and some of these people that insist that they've got it all together. And it's not just us. I mean, I'm not saying that we're all that in a bag of chips. You know, it's wherever you go where you have good quality, well-respected professional training, you're going to find the same thing. And so I urge you, all of you, to evaluate your skills and abilities and priorities. And Doc, you know, I guess that's a good point there. Doc says there's no violent protesters. As soon as they become violent, protesters are rioters. Yeah, there you go. So anyway, I just urge you to sit down and think about how well, do some what we call, what everybody calls mental imaging or mental imagery. And think about some of these scenarios that are going on in the country right now, all over the world. What if you were involved in some of these things? What if you were walking down the street with your honey, you got your arm around her? Which arm do you have around her? If you're walking down the street with your right arm around her and you're right-handed, then you're wrong. If you can't get to your weapon, if you're not carrying a weapon, you're damn sure wrong. But if you're not leaving that gun hand free while you're walking down the street, you need to evaluate your priorities here and see if you don't need to step back and look at some of the decisions that you made. And Queso, that's something for all of us to think about. Queso says he's got medications that's got him weakened and stuff. So if you are taking certain kinds of medications, if you're been dehydrated because you're been sick, anything that will weaken your, you know, lessen your awareness level, your response time, then I would urge you to kind of consider your outings here, leaving the house, getting out on the street. You might want to think about putting it off for a day or two, or getting somebody else to do it for you if you can. Guys, look what's going on all over the country. Certainly not as bad in Wyoming as it is in New York, but you look at every state, there's things going on. Very violent, very dynamic, very brutal thing, more so than ever, probably in American history. And if you're not prepared physically and mentally to meet and defeat these challenges, then I really would try to urge you to set back and think about what your next move in here as far as training and stuff goes. There's good, respectable trainers all over the country. By the way, that reminds me of something. Speaking of good, respectable trainers, and I don't mean to make light of this because it's not funny, but there is a former firearms instructor who is dead tonight because of, not taking care of things properly. He had a 9-year-old girl out there on the range letting her shoot a fully automatic Uzi. I saw the video. He let her fire one, count them, one and only one single shot out of that Uzi before he put it on rock and roll and let her burst rip there. And when she did, recoil got away from her. She got scared her. She brought it back, shot the instructor in the head, killed him dead on the spot. If you've been listening to the Shooting Bench very long, about 3 years ago, probably 4 years ago, that happened to an 8-year-old boy in, I believe it was in Pennsylvania. And same thing, same gun. It was an Uzi. Somebody turned him loose with it, and that Uzi climbed up there, shot him in the head, killed him on the spot. Now, it was, Uzi's kind. You know, you can talk all the smack you want to about a 9mm. When you're shooting it full auto, it still rises a little bit. I mean, Uzi's for somebody like me that's, you know, larger and stronger and more experienced, I think they're pretty cut and pick and controllable. But 9-year-old kids, I'm all for letting 9-year-old kids do it, but you need to have an experienced, knowledgeable, not just experienced, but knowledgeable instructor to keep things under control. My son, Wesley, I've got a picture hanging on the wall in the classroom at Shots Ranch of him shooting an Uzi when he was 9. Was he 9? Maybe. Yeah, he was 9. Yeah, I think he was 9. And he's just letting it rip, and he's doing a fine job. But he had proper instruction, proper supervision, and there was just no way that anything, if he'd have turned around intentionally and tried to shoot somebody, it wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have got away with it. That kind of goes hand in hand with what I was talking about earlier, 20 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago about the training and whatnot. So let me look here and see what's going on in the chat room before we go to a break. When we come back, Amy will be stepping in here and lighten the mood just a little bit, and then I'm going to try to get a hold of it after she's done and destroy it again and put it right back where you're at right now. Doc says he had a double cowboy. You know what a double cowboy rig is? Mm-mm. Remember what, who was it? Roy Rogers or Gene Autry used to wear. He had the cross belt right here and a pistol, revolver on both sides. BB Burner says he wears a double cowboy rig, so he's ready either way. But, we'll find out about that, BB Burner. Doc said, I had a double cowboy rig, but he had to give it up. He says, hiring two cowboys to cover your butt just gets damn expensive. So, let's see here. You know, the 9mm, going back to Doc's comment here, that the Uzis do climb. Yes, they do. All full autos will climb, even if it's just a little. But anything will climb a little bit. And I'll tell you, I always had the opportunity to shoot an MP5 in 10mm. Quite a bit. One time we did management retreat for the FBI one time. They come out and went horseback riding and went out and did some shooting, and then they staged a little thing out there with the helicopters and the MP5s and all the and stuff. Anyway, I got to shoot one. I managed to get quite a bit of ammo out of the deal too. But that MP5, as much experience as I've had with automatic weapons and as big as I am, that MP5 was not the most controllable. If you want it on, and it, you couldn't even put it on full auto, as I recall. You could only do a 3-shot burst with it. But you had to pretty much hold it down right above the right hip, so that your third shot would hit somewhere as around the left shoulder of the silhouette. It was just, if you could keep it on full auto, if you could put it on rock and roll and let it climb and bring it back down and control it that way, just like you do a fire hose or something, you can do that. But 3-shot burst, it was less than impressive. Awesome round, neat, reliable gun, but it was fun to play with, but I don't want one. So, anyway, let's see here. All right, I'm going to catch up on the chat here during the break, and we are fixing to take a break. And when we come back, when we come back, my voice will change. So,
I'll be back.
Bomb, 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 I ran. Bomb, 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 I ran. Some rocks, tell the Ayatollah gonna put you in a box.
Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
I wouldn't want to be caught here if I'm getting old. This old place ain't home, it's just a stop in the rain.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in your command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with Just Measured Radio Network.
Hey, are you ready? Here's Cope Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling in them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
Good evening. I was waiting for my Tuesday song, but...
Oh, I forgot. I have to get in the habit of that. I forgot to do that since we're not doing the morning show. You want me to do your Tuesday song?
That's okay.
Okay.
That's all right. All right. Hello, everyone out there on the chat. I was watching the chat as Cope was talking and listening to what he was saying, see what you guys are saying. And it's it is getting crazy out there with all the talk, but I'm not going to get into all the... ISIS and all that garbage. So
it is garbage.
It is garbage, yes. All right. Well, so today is August the 26th, and I'm asking all of you, since you all knew what the holiday was today, the holiday, remember, National Dog Day. So I hope everyone did something fun for your dog, gave them a treat, took them out for a walk. Let's see, brushed them, gave them extra dinner, something fun in their dinner, a little treat.
Okay, let's don't get too carried away with
the
dog thing,
okay? No, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. Dogs are good things. You're not a fan of the dog?
Oh, yeah, I like dogs just fine. They're fixed, right?
See, exactly. That's what I thought. So anyway, tomorrow's holiday. Tomorrow is Banana Lover's Day.
Hey, hey.
Now.
Go out and share a banana with your dog.
Now, that's so. I was just telling Cope this the other day, you know, I used to love bananas, but for some reason they don't taste the same to me. Cope says he doesn't notice the difference, so maybe it's just me, I don't know. But it says that the average person eats about 33 pounds of bananas a year. Now, that's approximately 100 bananas per person. Oh, I don't think I eat that many, but...
I probably do, because I do the ASAP
You
thing.
Probably do,
I
yeah.
I probably eat 100 a year.
But bananas are very, very good for you. They're high in fiber and potassium. help. The bananas are very good in helping to prevent calcium loss. They prevent ulcers, high blood pressure, certain kinds of cancer. So it's a good thing. They are they're a good thing to eat, to have a lot. So I think to celebrate Banana Lovers Day, I think you ought to, I don't know. There's different ways you can have bananas. Mine, especially, of course, is in a banana split, naturally, of course. Hello. But you can fry bananas. You can grill bananas. Some people put them in s'mores. I don't know. You know what I used to love to do when during the summer when my daughters were younger? I would get, for breakfast, I would slice bananas and slice fresh peaches in a bowl of milk. And that's what we would have for breakfast. That is so good. Anyway, so tomorrow, Banana Lovers Day. So have a banana to celebrate. All right, let's see.
You never fried any bananas for me. I never tried fried bananas.
I've never had fried bananas.
I like bananas every other kind of way, so maybe frying them's okay too.
Have them grilled?
No, I've never really cooked banana of any kind. Do they have French fried bananas?
Probably at fairs and stuff. I tell you, they fry everything there now.
Yeah, I'll have to try that sometime. Yeah.
All right, let's do our birthdays today. If today is your birthday, happy birthday to you from me. And I will let you know who you're celebrating with. M. Jantz, Fried Plantains. That's a little cool. All right. First birthday we have today. Any of you Deep Purple fans out there, the drummer and the singer for Deep Purple, his name is Chris Curtis. He is having a birthday today.
That part of it's more popular than the words are. That's what everybody recognizes that. That's not a very clean version of it for some reason.
Yep, Edge of the Woods has it, Smoke on the Water. That's a good song. All right, another birthday today. Robert Cowsill. He is a member of who?
Mamas and Papas. Oh, no.
Cowsills.
Oh, yeah.
Here they come.
She asked him why I'm a hairy guy. I'm hairy noon and night.
Night.
My hair is a fright. I'm hairy.
Yeah, I'm done with that. Anytime you want to turn that off, it's fine with me.
You don't like hair.
I actually am hating it right now.
That's a pretty cute song.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Compared to what?
Compared to other songs that are not cute.
You know what?
It's not for lack of breath.
No, thank you. I don't like that one at all. All right. On the last birthday we have today, Jimmy Olander. He's a singer with Diamond Rio.
Okay. Now we finally got down to the meat and potatoes of this whole thing here.
Good song.
Going out of my mind these days. Like I'm walking around in a haze. I can't think straight. I can't concentrate. And I need a shave. I go to work and I look tired.
All right, so there you go. That's all I have for birthdays today. I have one thing that happened on this day in history. On this day, August the 26th, the year of 1818, this is the day that Illinois became the 21st U.S. state on this day. All right, let me tell you some Ripley's Believe It or Not things. There's some
different ones I have today. I'm going to do a little bit more than normal. Just this year, January of this year, in the town of Clovis, Mexico.
Mexico or mm-hmm. New Mexico?
It says Mexico.
I know there's a Clovis, New Mexico. I never heard of that one.
Thousands of tumbleweeds trapped people in their homes. They couldn't get out.
Sounds like Clovis, New Mexico.
It might be New Mexico. I don't know. This says Mexico, but who knows? But that was January of this year, which is very strange. That's just a weird thing. All right. And did you know that a pigeon can accelerate from a standstill to 60 miles per hour in less than 2 seconds?
You know, I did that once.
Really?
Yeah, I was crawling over the fence over at Sue Kirk's house, and Perry come out with a shotgun, and a 30-30, and I did the same thing.
Yeah. So pigeons got nothing on you, huh?
No, I've been there, done that.
Okay. Let's see. Now, how annoying would this be? There's a guy, he's from Serbia, and due to a rare brain condition, he sees everything, TV, books, computers, everything is upside down. That'd be quite annoying.
Stand on his head, get things look normal.
Yeah. Erasers were made out of bread until the late 18th century.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Now, there's this one thing. It's called, there's a lizard out there. And it's called a goanna lizard. And it actually, it's there's an Australian sport that they do. The two people that are doing the sport, what they're doing is they're playing tug of war using their necks. And it's just kind of an idiot thing. But anyway, they're using the stance of this lizard. They're on their stomach with their hands on the ground, and they are, have this strap around their necks, and they're doing tug of war.
That sounds less than intelligent to me.
Yeah, me too. Now, let me tell you.
Maybe even right up to, into and including dumb.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Let me tell you this. There is a, first of all, before I tell you that story, I want to tell you this other story. This is kind of an interesting thing. If you, and I don't know if any of you out there live in West Virginia or know someone who lives in West Virginia. In West Virginia, they have a thing called, and this is in Pocahontas County, West Virginia. There are fewer than 10,000 people that live in this little region. The town is called Marlinton. Have you ever heard of it?
Marlinton, West Virginia?
West Virginia?
No.
It only has 1,000 residents, 1,000 people that live there. But the last Saturday in September, they have this big old festival there, and if you can believe it, it is called the Roadkill Festival.
Hmm.
Yeah. And what's happening, it says that what they do is, now in West Virginia, if you happen to hit an animal, you are, you're completely in the right to pick it up and take it home and cook it, depending on, you know, obviously depending on what you hit. But you do have to, you're supposed to notify the authorities, let them know what happened, and I guess they make, keep record of this kind of thing, I'm not sure. But anyway, what these people do in this town is they want to get their town to be known. And so because I guess there's a lot of wildlife in this little area that gets killed on the side of the road, they now, to get people to come to this little town each and every year, they hold a, it's called an Autumn Harvest Festival, and there is food and drink there and all that kind of a thing. And they get people to come there, and they, 10,000 people show up in this little town now of 1,000 people because of this thing.
It's kind of like Luna in the Pioneer Days Rodeo, isn't
it? Kind of, yeah. But they have, what happens is they have a roadkill cook-off now. They are not actually cooking the roadkill, but they are cooking things that you would, that are native to that area that it's possible that they could become roadkill. That's what that is. The person that wins this contest gets $1,200. That's the prize.
All right,
yeah. Yeah, that's not too bad. But anyway, so this is what they do to get people to come to their town, and it has worked. Quite a revenue generating little festival, because everyone benefits, all little towns in this area, the hotels. I mean, they make a lot of money. It's the last Saturday of each September, and they even have a roadkill beauty pageant. There's a Miss Roadkill, a Miss Teen Roadkill, and all that kind of a thing. But anyway, they even give scholarships for this kind of deal. So it's kind of interesting, but kind of weird, too, at the same time. All right, now let me tell you this other thing. There is a lake. It's called Lake Baikal, and it is in Siberia. It is the deepest lake in the world. It contains so much water that if it were to be emptied, it would cover all the land on Earth to a depth of 7 inches.
Now, that's a pretty good sized lake.
That's a lot of water, yeah.
That's like a puddle, a big puddle.
Very big. Okay, now this, like I said, it is in Siberia. Lake Baikal, it's B-A-I-K-A-L. This is really interesting. What it is, it's a rift. It's made by a rift lake. What that is is the surface of the earth is pulling apart, and this has filled up with water. This lake, it's the largest surface area of any freshwater lake in Asia. It covers 12,248 square miles. It is the deepest lake in the world. It is, at the deepest point, 5,387 feet. The bottom of this lake, this is really very strange. The bottom of this lake is 3,893 feet below sea level, but below that, there is 4.3 miles of sediment. So that makes this the rift floor, the bottom of this lake, 5 to 6.8 miles below the surface of the surface, which is the deepest continent rift on Earth. So anyway, it's very interesting. There's fish in this lake that are only found in this lake. They're not found any other place. The temperature at this let's see here. Oh, and this lake, the age of this lake is estimated to be 25 to 30 million years. Let's see. Where did I do with the temperature of this lake is kind of a crazy. Oh, there's people that live there. There's a tribe of people. What are they called? Trying to find it here really quickly. Anyway, I don't see it right now, but there's a tribe of people, and they're called Bariat tribes. They reside on the eastern side of this lake. They raise goats, camels, cattle, and sheep. The average temperature in the winter there is -2 degrees Fahrenheit. The maximum summer temperature is 57 degrees Fahrenheit. So you'd probably wear a coat year-round there. It says, and actually they said that the winter nights get considerably colder and the summer days are considerably hotter, but those are just the average temperatures. -2 in the winter and 57 in the summer.
I didn't know I ever got that warm in Siberia. I've never looked into it. I always thought Siberia was, you know, sub-zero pretty much all the time.
Yeah, I know.
From what you hear, but I never had any idea that it warmed up that much.
But I guess there's been this lake has a long history of human habitation. There's been all types, different types of like tribes of people that have lived on this lake. This let me see, the shore length of this lake is 1,300 miles. This lake is frozen from January to May. Let's see, what else? The maximum length is 395 miles, and the maximum width is 49 miles. That's a huge lake, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? This is a big body of water. But anyway, I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. I wanted to share that with you. And it talks about, hold on, some of the wildlife and the vegetation that are on this lake. There's a seal, a Baikal seal that is native only to this lake, doesn't live anywhere else in the world, only here. There's some fish there. There's 60 native fish species in this lake, 60. And more than half of them are only found in this lake. Let's see, what else? Hold on here.
Didn't we find out today that the shoreline was over 1,300 miles?
Mm-hmm.
That's like driving from here to Vancouver or somewhere up in that part of the country. That's a lot of lake.
That is. It's a lot of lake. Yeah. There's 150 freshwater snails that that live there. 117 of them are found only in this lake. There's it's just crazy about all this, all the different about the different things about this lake. What lives in it? What lives around it? The type of people that are there. There's a lot of history on this lake. It's very, very interesting. But anyway, so I wanted to share that with you and tell you about it. There are, it says the economy at this place. The lake is nicknamed the Pearl of Siberia. I guess it says that this article that I found out said that investors they came from all over the tourist industry because of these this lake, and they want a huge economic boom to happen here. But there's one of the investors. He was going to build three hotels, which would create 570 jobs. But in 2007, the Russian government declared this Baikal region a special economic zone, and so a popular resort was put there. And I guess not a lot of people can go there. More people want to build there and to really populate that area a little bit more because of it's just an amazing place, and the pictures look really, really pretty too. The tourism is pretty good there. They say that there's a lot of people that visit it if they can handle the cold weather. But they said, I guess there is a uranium plant, and that plans on investing $2.5 billion into that region, and then create about 2,000 jobs. But they're also saying that it hasn't taken off as much as they want. Some people don't want it to be as well known as it's as other people want it to be, and so they're a little bit, that's fight going on about that, I guess. But anyway, it's very pretty, very neat. And they also said another bad thing about this is that they have quite notable earthquakes here every couple years because of the fault that is right on this rift that it's in. But they say that it's every few years they have quite substantial earthquakes there, so that could also be a little bit problematic for any building that they want to put in this area. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. That's what I was going to share with you tonight, that little tidbit of this lake. I thought that was kind of a neat thing. So anyway, there you go. Hopper says that Fort Peck Lake has a 1,500 miles of shoreline. That's crazy.
That's a lot of lake, too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Anyway. All right, I will give you back to Cope. He will finish up his segment of the show, you guys. I'll be back on tomorrow night. Thanks for listening in and what I had to say, and have a good evening and a good day tomorrow. Don't forget, it's Banana Lovers Day tomorrow.
All right.
That's what I said. James John Good, but he's better. and I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Megyn Kelly. Breaking tonight is Barack Obama's presidency imploding. Al-Qaeda is resurging, Iraq is disintegrating, and now we may look to Iran to help us stop it. Iran, a terrorist regime responsible for the deaths of thousands of Americans. What could possibly go wrong? We have drawn red lines in Syria we refuse to enforce. We stood by as Russia seized part of Ukraine. And now we are releasing top Taliban leaders as the Afghanistan war is still going. Not to worry, they tell us Qatar's going to watch them for a year, we hope. Domestically, we have a president who has lost the trust of the American people by repeatedly misleading them. He bypasses Congress, the people's representatives, on matters ranging from Obamacare to immigration law, to the point where one of the most respected liberal law professors in the country has called our president the very danger the Constitution was designed to avoid. The American public overwhelmingly regrets Obamacare. Our veterans are dying, waiting to see doctors. The IRS intimidates conservative groups. The southern border is compared to a sieve. And the president assures us not to worry, smiling, golfing, and at this very moment, partying with fashion queen Anna Wintour. Because the fundraising never stops. Not when four Americans die in Benghazi, and not when Baghdad is at the brink.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Over in a moment, and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.